Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get to our guest. Chad Pergram joins us now, senior congressional correspondent for Fox News. It's such an honor to always be able to have Chad update us on these types of events. Chad, thank you for being with us today. It's good to have you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
What can you tell us about the goings-on Capitol Hill, specifically in the House? They tried to acknowledge Charlie Kirk, and it just didn't seem like it was as easy as it should have been.
Yeah, well, they certainly voted to do so. They voted to honor him. More than 300 members, that's a wide swath of people, voted to honor him. But usually when we have these types of votes, especially after somebody who's been shot, assassinated, murdered, people from both sides vote yes. You certainly saw that back in June after the two Minnesota state lawmakers who were assassinated. You know, the House voted 424 to nothing to honor them.
Hmm.
Well, Kirk was a little bit of a different story here. I mean, if you put together the Democrats who voted no, 58, the Democrats who voted present, 38, and the 22 Democrats who did not vote at all, that gets you to 55% of the House Democratic Caucus who did not vote in favor of honoring Charlie Kirk. And, you know, Tom Emmer, the majority whip from Minnesota, he said he was dumbfounded by this. He said this should just be a layup. Steve Scalise, the majority leader, he said, you know, this kind of shows you where the left is. And you've had people who have been outspoken. I thought it was notable that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who, you know, sometimes lays a little bit low, but has been a little more energized of late. People have speculated maybe she wants to run for president. Maybe she wants to challenge Chuck Schumer for the Senate, or if he steps aside or steps down, and we can talk about government funding and her position, you know, kind of the internecine politics in the Democratic Party about that in a moment. But she took to the floor after the vote and explained her position. She thought that the shooting was horrific, thought it was terrible, spoke about Kirk's widow and his children, but said, you know, we don't think that he should have been honored, and here's why. She cited Jim Crow comments from her perspective, bigotry. I mean, she had a whole laundry list of things. And you mentioned Jasmine Crockett, and she had kind of done the same thing. She says, look, I'm a civil rights lawyer, and he did not advocate on behalf of civil rights. And I'm not going to vote on somebody, to honor somebody like that. Some Democrats would say to you privately that they thought this was a trap. They were kind of being backed into this. I don't know that that's the case, but you have to take an up or down vote. And sometimes I should note that Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic leader, he voted yes. He voted to honor Charlie Kirk. And there were many other top, you know, flight Democrats who did so. But some took issue with the nature of the resolution or how it was written or the idea that it was honoring somebody and citing things that they just did not believe were true about him. And sometimes in Congress, and hear this the right way, you have a vote like that that's set up, and maybe it is a trap laid by the other side, maybe it's not. But sometimes, you know, it's not a bill that's going to the president's desk or something, you know. You just kind of slickly go along and vote yes, and then everybody forgets about it because you're like, you know what, say you had a handful of people that voted no, not 58, say you had a handful, that stands out more than everybody else. So sometimes you're like, okay, I'll just vote, and then people will leave me alone. Even if you don't feel that. I mean, hey, you know, you are elected to take these votes like this, and sometimes you want to be out there and take a tough vote and say, this is why I voted no, or oppose that, or I'm one of the few people who voted yes. And sometimes you're like, you know what, we need to lower the temperature in this time of crisis. We've had an assassination. Let's just try to calm things down. Let's honor him and go on to something else. We have to fund the government, for instance.
Yeah, certainly. Either way that they would vote on that, they would be accountable to their constituents. And it's their constituents' responsibility to be educated to say, I support what you did there. I absolutely don't support what you did there on that particular vote.
And if I can interject there, not to interrupt, I'm sorry. But, you know, that is the flip side of this. If you think about the district that, say, Crockett or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez represents, these are left-leaning districts. Okay, no surprise there. And that may very well be the position, even though some people might find it offensive, of the people in their district. And if they were to vote the other way on that, there's some other members who might be able to get away with this more so than others, if you get what I'm saying here.
Sure.
But you represent a hard left district like that, where many of their constituents might have found, for right or wrong, Charlie Kirk to be radioactive, then, you know, there would be something to pay back home if they voted to honor him.
Mm.
So, you know, I do think members generally vote their districts. You might not like it, but that might be where their districts are.
Yeah, certainly that is the nature of the House of Representatives and each of those representatives to be accountable to those specific districts. Mm-hmm. Let's move over to the Senate a little bit. You have a very, very good viewpoint of how these bodies function differently from one another. John Fetterman has come out, a senator from Pennsylvania, Democrat. And I think the tweet in, off the top of my head that he posted this weekend was like, let's take the day off and let the people who love Charlie Kirk mourn. He's been a little bit of what I would consider to be a voice of reason. Is that your understanding of the sentiment? Are there two camps in the Democrat Party right now surrounding Charlie Kirk, bringing the temperature down, how to approach what comes
certainly
next?
And again, look at somebody like Fetterman, somebody who represents a swing state. It's a state that he represents that, you know, he was considered to be hard left and maybe, you know, a progressive some time ago. You know, he has ditched the party on a number of issues. And if you think maybe where the state of Pennsylvania is, I was talking about a narrow congressional district in New York City versus a sprawling state like Pennsylvania. Well, President Trump carried, maybe that's kind of where the people were on that, if you're John Fetterman, even if you might disagree. He didn't imply that he disagreed. But that's why he's been willing to buck his party on a number of things, be it that or maybe funding the government. He said on Friday, he said, well, you know, he said, I'm voting for funding the government. He said, because even if you thought that the conspiracy here was to have, you know, if you listen to the furthest left wing reaches of the Democratic Party, that, you know, the autocrats are going to take over. Why would you vote to shut the government so they would have control, is basically what he said. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm for avoiding a government shutdown, even if that's not the premise necessarily. So he does kind of take a different marching order. I think it just comes from John Fetterman. He's not always a reliable Democratic vote. You know, there's always some folks like that. Rand Paul of Kentucky, you never quite know on certain issues, certainly libertarian issues. He was outspoken against the FCC chairman. He did not vote for the funding bill the other day. He's probably with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on vaccines. You see how, you know, you can kind of hopscotch around there on a number of different issues. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi years ago, when she was Speaker of the House, she described politics, especially internal politics in a party, as being like a kaleidoscope. And, you know, and you're rotating like that tube you have. And so it's constantly changing. And she said the person who might be your enemy today or be opposed to your issue today maybe is your ally tomorrow. And you're, because that's constantly changing and morphing and altering depending on the issue. And I think that's very reflective of where we are on those issues. Mm-hmm. But the one thing, and you said it a moment ago, Annie, they cannot lower the temperature very well here. They could, but there's no thermostat in Congress. There are thermometers, and they are all thermometers of their district, of their states. And unless they take an ardent approach to say, we are going to cut the rhetoric, we're going to cut the white hot you know, yelling at each other. You know, there was things that Ilhan Omar said or retweeted about Charlie Kirk, and then Nancy Mace of South Carolina tried to sanction her, you know, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. They, you know, if they would just on both sides back that off. But guess what? They never do this. They didn't do this. I can give you chapter and verse since the late 1990s. If they weren't going to do that after January 6th, if they weren't going to do that after Steve Scalise was shot, if they weren't going to do that after 9/11, if they weren't going to do that after Gabrielle Giffords was shot, then guess what? They're not going to do it.
Mm. Chad Pergram speaking with us right now, the senior congressional correspondent for Fox News. I mean, what I hear you say, which is should be empowering for our listeners here in the St. Louis bi-state region in Missouri and southern Illinois, is that if anything is going to change, it's going to have to come from the actual districts that these people represent, the states that they represent in the Senate. I've heard people talk about John Fetterman and like, oh, he's going to switch parties. He's been pretty adamant. I'm not switching parties. He just disagrees with the Democrat Party from time to time.
Yes, Israel, a few other issues. Absolutely, yeah. And both parties always have somebody like that who stands out. Thomas Massie of Kentucky on the Republican side, he's somebody who's like that. You had Zell Miller, who was the senator from Georgia. I had been governor of Georgia, you know, spoke at the Republican convention. You had Joseph Lieberman of Connecticut, who died about a year and a half ago or so, you know, lost the Democratic primary and won as an independent. You have Lisa Murkowski, who routinely bucks her party on a lot of things, you know, is not very pleased with some of these spending cuts and things as they pertain to Alaska. I think that that's just natural. You know, that's always the challenge. And you know why it is, you know why it is underscored more right now? It's a little bit different in the Senate because this is not that strange a majority, 53-47, that you have in the Senate for the Republicans right now, because it's all about the math. Somebody told me that one time, Annie. It's all about the math. But we have had for quite a while now, several different cycles, a really narrow margin in the House. And usually you had cushion in the House. And so those people who voted no, it didn't stand out as much. But now you need every single vote. And so that accentuates these differences, these internal differences in both parties, more so in the House than the Senate, though.
Mm. Well, Chad Pergram speaking with us right now. Since we've set the table and taken the temperature from the outside, not being able to cool it down, how in the world do we get a budget passed at this point? How does that can happen?
To avoid a government shutdown, and to be clear, a budget is different than avoiding a government shutdown.
Sure.
A budget is where you the president sends a resolution to Congress and says, this is what we propose spending. And budgets don't become law. These are appropriations. What they have to do is they have to fund the 12 areas of the government by next Tuesday night at 11:59 p.m. That's September 30th, or the government shuts down. This might be as bad a one as I've seen in a while, and I don't know for sure if the government's going to shut down, because we always get to this point in the year and you don't quite have a way out of this cul-de-sac. I don't see that yet, but there are some operational things that are very different this time. The House is gone, period. In fact, the House was supposed to come back early next week, and they, you know, cut that off their calendar. They said, we're going to come back the week of October 7th. They passed their bill to fund the government, just to reopen the government, keep the government open at the current spending levels. These are the old Biden era spending levels, which some Republicans embrace because you're not adding more money. So even though it's a Biden era spending level, de facto, it's a cut, if you follow me there.
Sure.
So that's part of it. And then, so they passed their bill, sent it to the Senate. The Senate blew up both the House Republican bill and the Democratic bill. And I should note that the Senate Republican bill, or the House Republican bill in the Senate, didn't even get a majority over there. There were a lot of absences and everything else. So read into that what you want. But the Senate is not back until next Monday. You don't have enough track to work this out unless they get an agreement now behind the scenes. Bring the Senate back on Wednesday, Thursday. They won't do it Wednesday because Rosh Hashanah begins at sundown tonight and runs through Wednesday night, sundown. That's why they're out of session right now. Mm. Come back over the weekend. You could do that. You still got to get some agreements. But right now, I mean, this is as bad as we have seen it ever in recent years, since the government shutdown, the lengthy one in 2018 into 2019, because of just the operational things. You can't if they ain't here, they can't pass a bill. And they demonstrated that they could not pass a bill in the Senate to sync up with the House, and the House is making it a take it or leave it proposition.
Is there a party that's going to be able to make more political hay over a shutdown?
You know what? Every time we have a government shutdown, the other party, the party who feels like it's the other one that's really shutting them down, they always say, oh, they're going to pay. I have never seen any political repercussions of a government shutdown. You have them in the macro sense. And this happened to Newt Gingrich and the Republicans in the mid-90s, is that Bill Clinton kind of won those government shutdown fights with Newt Gingrich when he was Speaker. And they viewed it as the Republicans were, it was chaotic. You know, you certainly saw that maybe in a few other, Ted Cruz and the government shutdown over Obamacare in 2013. But nobody goes to the polls and says, I'm going to pull the lever the other direction because they shut down the government. And so this brings me back to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Because Chuck Schumer, what his decision was in March, was to provide votes on the Democratic side of the aisle, because you got to get 60 votes to overcome a filibuster. Okay, in this case, you're going to have to do it twice. He provided the votes because he thought that shutting down the government in March, when they were dealing with Doge and Elon Musk, that would create more problems. Now, Schumer was criticized, as much criticism as I have ever.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Scene heaped on him because he got nothing out of the deal. And so now people are saying, is he the right man for the job? And this is the whole thing on the Democratic side of the aisle that they have to show to their base that they're, quote, fighting, whatever they deem as fighting enough. And so maybe secretly, maybe they kind of want a government shutdown too, frankly. You don't really have two sides that are willing to engage right now. And because of the internal politics that Schumer and the Democratic Party is wrestling with, that doesn't make it, you know, convenient for them or really an opportunity, something they want to engage in.
Mm. It seems like chaos is congressional currency these days. To think that chaos used to be the thing that you wanted to avoid, I don't know what we would do if things were in order. It just doesn't seem like that's the way that Congress
functions.
They
do chaos really well here. They really do. I mean, I remember the first day they came back after the recess. They had this lengthy recess in August and into, you know, second day of September. And I came home that night and I was exhausted. And I said to somebody, I said, the last two or three hours that I was here was utter mayhem. And I said, yeah, because the only thing they do well is chaos sometimes.
Chaos. Yeah. Well, Chad Pergram, you are so wonderful at bringing it into a place where we can all come to a focus on what they're doing. And we're always grateful that you're able to fit us into your schedule. Thank you for being with us again today.
My pleasure.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.